Democrats kick off their convention today in Philadelphia, and you'll hear a lot about unity, opportunity, and security. But for many younger voters, one of the biggest issues of this election season is debilitating student loan debt. The total amount of U.S. student loan debt has grown to $1.3 trillion, and some students even rack up debt that reaches into the six figures. But a new report from the White House's Council of Economic Advisers suggests that we ought to be paying more attention to people with much, much smaller debt loads, $5,000 or less. Here to tell us why is Derek Thompson. He's senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us every Monday. Hi there, Derek.
Hello.
So let's talk about the who these people are and why or how they acquired this $5,000 or less of student loans. And let's just start with the how. How did they get the $5,000 of debt?
In student debt, as in all things, the media tends to focus on the largest numbers, $1.3 trillion in total student debt, $100,000 in debt for some of these students. But I am suggesting here that perhaps we should focus on the smaller numbers, the full story of the student debt crisis. According to this White House economist paper, two-thirds of people who default on student loans have debt sizes less than $10,000. So we're focused on these big numbers, but the students most in trouble have these relatively smaller debt loads. Why? How, as you asked? Well, people with high student debt have often gone to grad school, which means they're more likely to be employed, more likely to make more money. But it's these students with relatively small debt amounts. They often went to a for-profit school. They were a little bit older. Maybe they dropped out after 6 months or a year and a half. And as a result, they haven't accumulated student debt for 4 years. So somewhat paradoxically, their total debt burden is low, but so are their economic prospects when they leave school, and that makes them more likely to default.
Right. So I mean, as you point out in your piece in The Atlantic today, the graduation rates or completion rates for 2-year or 4-year for-profit institutions is, what, 40% to 25% respectively. So they've taken on this debt, but they don't even have a degree to show for it at the end of the day, right?
Right. And this is a story that I think exists sometimes in the shadows of a lot of media coverage of student debt. When we think of a college student, sometimes we just think of a middle class teenager, the sort of classic Hollywood college experience. But the typical for-profit student is somebody in their mid-20s, somebody from a first-generation family earning less than $40,000 a year, and somebody who does not graduate from school but rather drops out. The completion rate for these schools is incredibly low. And these people are probably most in trouble when it comes to the student debt picture. Their debt burdens aren't responsible necessarily for raising the total number to $1.3 trillion, but these are the real tragedies we should probably be focused on as public policy people.
And Derek, you point out an astonishing figure. How many more times, or what's the likelihood of someone with $5,000 or less of student loan debt, what's their likelihood of defaulting versus someone who has a much higher debt load?
If you look at the total number of people that have $5,000 or less of debt versus those who have, say, $40,000 or more, those with the smallest number are defaulting 8 times more than those with the largest number. So it is extremely important in the overall picture to be focused on these students, often older students, adult students, with small student debt burdens who are nonetheless the most likely to default.
Right. So these are folks now who have debt. They don't have a degree. They've defaulted, and therefore they're even further hampered because of the default in every other financial aspect of their lives, right?
Right. That's exactly it. You know, they often have no shot at a mortgage because they've defaulted on this smaller debt load. I should say altogether that, you know, there are lots of people who are doing okay with their student debt. They're paying it off more or less on time, where the debt can also shape their lives as well. It can push young people into jobs they wouldn't otherwise take. It can discourage them from starting companies. It can delay marriage and delay kids. I am absolutely not suggesting that these aren't all tragedies studies that these aren't all small stories that we should be interested in. But numerically, I think the press has missed this large story about little numbers.
Well, let's talk about that a little more because, you know, I'm raising my hand, mea culpa. I started off this conversation with that 1.3 trillion number, the six-figure debt load number. I mean, how can we sort of change the narrative now if so many people, so many more people have these smaller debt loads that are hampering them just as much, but we in the media aren't focusing on them?
Well, one thing you can do, I mean, reading the paper certainly helped me fully understand the scope of this problem. Another way that I think about this is that macroeconomics sort of ties this whole story together. In the Great Recession, you saw state tax revenues fall. And so to balance their budgets, states cut education spending to public colleges. So what colleges did with less money from the state is they raised their tuition. Now you have public colleges becoming more expensive. And what that's done is it's driven low-income students into the arms of for-profits.
Right.
And so what's happening now is we have a lot of these marginal students heading to places where they are likely to default.
Gotta
that
take
strikes
a look
me
at
as
that.
The most important
yep.
story.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks, Derek.